Thank you so much. So, magandang umaga. Good morning. This morning, I'll be presenting about part of the result of our survey, sociolinguistic survey, which we did in the Philippines. So, I'll give a short background how we come up, how we started the survey, and the dialect mapping that we did in that survey, and some reflections on the process. So language development work in the area started around 60 years ago, in the late 50s until the late 70s when the insurrection came and the workers there had to leave the area, so everything was put on hold. And it was only in 2010 that people were getting interested again in language development. So the stakeholders in Kalinga, because there were ongoing language development work in other parts of the province, they thought that it's a good idea to include PASIL in the provincial strategy. So we went there and started engaging with the communities in 2010 to find out if they would be interested in language development. So we did the survey in 2011 in PASIL. So PASIL is the red one. So it's one of the 8 municipalities of Kalinga in the Cordillera Administrative Region. So as you can see, there are 14 villages in PASIL, which is divided into 7 sub-tribes. They are distinct ethno-linguistic groups. And the population is just about 10,000. So you can see it's really a linguistically dense area. So the survey was conducted. We planned to visit all the villages during in 2010, but we were not allowed to go to the 2 villages now that's supposed to be the upper PASIL. So we weren't allowed to visit that area due to peace and order situation. So we just went to the 6 villages in 2010 and continued the work in 2014 when we were already reporting back to the community the result of the survey as requested by the LGU, that we should go to each village and discuss it with the community so that they can respond well and discuss the result of the survey with us and what they can do about their language. And we included the dialect mapping activity we did in Balbalasang, that's in another municipality, but in the past surveys they said that it's part of the language, it's part of the Ginaang Balbalasang group, so we also included that part. So the purpose of the survey was to determine if there's a need for language development in PASIL, and if there is, what variety should be chosen as the written standard. And the goals are to assess the vitality of PINASIL, that's a collective term for all the varieties spoken in the municipality, and to find out the extensibility of Lubuagan materials to PASIL, because there are already materials developed in Lubuagan and varieties of PASIL are considered dialects of Lubuagan, so they thought maybe PASIL can use the materials. And if Lubuagan materials are not acceptable, we'll determine which variety of PINASIL should be chosen for possible language development. So we used several instruments. We used the traditional methods, but we really want this survey to be participatory, so we included some participatory tools, and that's why I'll be presenting to you one of the tools that we use, the dialect mapping. So what is it? So it's a tool which assists speakers of specific dialect in discussing information they already know about the dialects and levels of comprehension between dialects. So it also encourages speakers to think about which varieties of their language could use a single set of written or oral material. So it will be up to them to define their community who will use the materials. And in this process, the speakers can make their own analysis, conclusions, and decisions about their language development using this. They don't have to wait for the paper or the results of the survey that we did to arrive before they can make decisions about their language. So the dialect mapping, when we did this, we had community discussion groups or focus group discussions composed of representatives from different sectors of the community, usually 8 to 15 people. But then when people see, because it's just in the community, when people see that they know what's going on, so people started coming and they started joining in the discussion. So we documented it with photo, video, and audio whichever is applicable, because usually the discussions are at night because that's the time they're not working. There was no electricity then, so it's difficult to document. And it's facilitated in the language of wider communication. So this is the final look of the dialect mapping. So the first part is to ask them the name of their location, the name of the people living in that area, and the name of the language or the variety which the people speak. And then they identify related varieties. So the participants wrote the name of their location. They identify the other tribes or the language or the village or the municipality that speaks similarly with them. And they write it on separate pieces of paper and place them on the floor to represent the geographical location. And then they group them together, those they think are part of the same group, using loops, the white one. And then they rank the most understood variety, okay, using numbers. And we also ask them how much they understand those varieties. So if they understand completely, understand most, half, understand little, we use markers also to symbolize that. And then we ask what language do they use when they speak to these groups. Do they speak their own? How do the other group responds to them? So yeah, that's the markers, the green and red. And then we ask them if materials will be developed in their variety, who can use those materials. So that they use another color of string for that. And then we ask them their choice of standard dialect or standard variety. So after the exercise, we ask them to summarize the results, and we also ask them to give their insights about the activity and about what they find out. What they found out. So the results of this activity on ethno-linguistic identity. So the people of Pasil or the Ipasil really has that very strong sense of identity. So they know who they are, what their language is, what their tribe is. And they are multi-identity. So they have several layers of identity, and depending on who they are talking to, they would tell you who they are. So since I'm a Tagalog speaker, if I'd ask them who they are, they would say they are Kalinga to differentiate themselves from the rest of the Philippines. But if they are within their municipality, they would invoke their tribal identity or their village identity. So when we ask them to group the varieties they say are similar, they group them according to sub-tribes. So even those, because there are varieties of Pasil, especially those from the upper Pasil area like Dakulayo, it's really a variety of Tinglayan. So they group Kulayo with the varieties of Tinglayan, even if it's in Pasil. And also Balatok, there are varieties. There are Balatok in another province, which is Abra. They also group that with those. But for Lubwagan, which is supposed to be a similar, which is supposed to be their language, they didn't associate themselves with Lubwagan because they said it's a different language. They are different people. And then on the degree of understanding, so we're not really surprised that they said that the lower Pasil area are generally the most understood varieties because that's the concentration of speakers of the language. But Ginaang was the most understood, so while Balatok was the least. And it's surprising that they said that Kulayo was more understandable than Lubwagan, but that's what they said. And then on the level of comprehension, generally, the villages in the lower Pasil area, they understood each other completely. And the upper Pasil is not really well understood. I'm not sure if it's visible. So that this one, the Balatok, the purple one, that means they only understood them little. There are people who only understood a little of what's spoken in those varieties. And then language use. So it's very interesting that although they live, it's not very, if you look at the map, they live quite close, but the terrain is not really easy. So, but generally, even in the whole province, they use their variety to speak to one another. They don't have to learn another variety. Okay, with some exceptions. There are exceptions like Kulayo and Tulgao. So if they don't understand each other, they would use Ilocano to communicate. And then extensibility. So the different survey locations, they believe that materials developed in their variety would reach the other varieties, even other parts of Kalinga. That's how they view their variety. It shows how highly they think of their variety. So again, there are exceptions. But for Balbalasang, for the Balbalasang area, they think that only the Banao people can use their variety. Because in the past, they thought even Balbalasang can use materials developed in Ginaang. And the top choice for written standard, of course, when you ask them what would be the best, what do you think should be the best variety, they would say ours is the best variety to be the written standard. But then Ginaang was the top choice. It was chosen by 6 out of 9 locations. And actually, Ginaang is almost half of the population of Pasil. Lubwagan was not chosen. Very few considered Ginaang, Lubwagan. So, conclusions. So, for this activity, we found out that Lubwagan materials are not really extensible to Pasil for several reasons. So, Pasil does not consider Lubwagan a similar variety. It's a different language. It's unthinkable for the people of Pasil who has their own language to even try to learn how to read a different language, which is Lubwagan. So I think when we talk about extensibility of materials, we consider intelligibility and acceptability. But I think for this purpose, it is really the acceptability. It's the people's feel that will suggest success of extending materials to other groups. So as for the best choice for written standard, So Ginaang was the top choice. So it is what? So it is the best material, best variety for to be the written standard. It is understood by most of the population, and yeah, it is one of them. It is considered one of their variety. So that's the top choice. And some important insights. So in this process, the community was given that opportunity to make collective observation. They learn together or relearn together because there are young generation in the discussion. So they learn something new, and they were able to affirm who they are and what they really want to do with their language. It also gives them back the, it gives them control, yeah, because they are the rightful owners of language development and the ones who can really make things happen in the community. And for sustainability of language development, you really have to make sure that you also sustain the identity of the community for it to work. And finally, I'd just like to share this definition of community-based language development by Lewis and Simons. So, as a community-based language development has these characteristics, it is holistic, it is results-based, it works from the inside out and from the bottom up, it is language-aware, and it is empowering. Salamat. Thank you.
All right, we have time for questions.
Did you get a sense of which factors increase or decrease comprehension between the dialects? Was it like prosody or lexical choice or grammar? Do you have any idea about that?
I think it's, in that situation, it's contact. There is high lexical similarity between the varieties, but that's a known fact. But I think for the older generation, because they are able to travel, they would know Pulayo and Balato really well. But for the younger generation, that's why it's difficult for them to understand those varieties.
I see. I'm just wondering what it is that causes the difficulty for the younger speakers to understand other dialects.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm thinking is, if, for example, it's prosodic factors, so sound-related factors,
mm-hmm.
then using a standard written set of materials would be less of a problem, right? Because
mm-hmm.
then they could just be reading it, imposing their own sound system on it.
Whereas
if it's a grammatical thing, then it might be its own fault.
Yeah, I think it's not really grammatical for, especially for Kalinga. It's more of phonological.
That's good news.
Any other questions?
Yes, I'm done. You're late.
I have a question. So I'm just curious. So your hope is to establish a standard written for the in that area to be able. Why is it important to get a standard when it seems like they have healthy languages in each of these districts? So is it funding? Is it because you need to be able to produce a lot of materials? Why do we need to lump them into one? Why not keep them since they seem very strong? I'm just curious about
because
that.
The difference is just very little, like a few vowels. And the population is really small, like one village would just be 200 plus people.
And so it is, though, to distribute, like, or just to document. Is it not going to be in the schools? Is it in the schools? What? I guess I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what the purpose is, I guess. they don't have a standard written language,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you put it into when you have a standard written language, are you hoping that they're going into be books into the
yes,
schools?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, is that the goal?
Yeah, because especially right now, the Department of Education is pushing for these ethno-linguistic groups to use their language in the school. So it would really be hard for, because they are attending the same schools. So it would really be hard for them to develop materials for each group when they are sharing.
Oh, okay. School, so like, yeah. Have like boarding schools, or they send off?
Not really boarding school. They walk to one village, and because that's where the school is.
Oh, okay. And I have one question.
Yeah,
sorry. So you said that there are people who say which language is the best, and
mm-hmm.
they say ours.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? Do they feel okay about having it into one standard? Because from where from, we have a lot of dialects, and we're very
mm-hmm.
proud of them,
mm-hmm.
and so we're having a very hard time
mm-hmm.
picking a standard dialect. So I was just curious, you know, is there people, because I feel like if there's people that are up against it,
mm-hmm.
then it won't go forward in a way that's healthy.
Yeah, I think they're okay with it because they have this municipal identity. They are all Ipasil anyway, so they can share. Over the sub-tribe identity, they have a higher identity where they can share something.
We have time for more questions.
I don't know if you know this, but if there's marriages between different villages, is there some, what kind of compromise do the spouses take in terms of language? Like, do they choose the top choice, the guna?
Ginaang. What we observed was, so we went to this one village, and there's a lady there who's been living in that village for 40 years because she married somebody from that village, and
yeah.
she still speaks her original variety, and people know it. Because we thought she already adapted to the variety, and people know. Because we recorded her, and we asked other people in the village to listen to the recording, and they instantly know who she is because she's speaking another language. I think that's one of our bloopers because we thought, that's what we thought, because it's been 40 years. And then if somebody would marry in that area, they somehow also call themselves associate themselves with the tribe. I don't think they have any difficulty with it. Usually they would rank several groups the same way because they understand them the same way.
Yeah.
But it's not difficult.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
So you showed that some of the dialects are generally more comprehensive than
mm-hmm.
other ones. So I'm interested in those dialects that are less comprehensible overall. Is there a sense in which those are actually dialects? Do speakers in the different villages, do they think of speakers of those lesser understood dialects as speaking the same language, or do they think of it as a different language?
Yeah, they actually think they are different.
They're different.
Especially for Kulaya, they know it's a Tinglayan variety. So they know.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would lead us to think might be a separate language.
Yes, and we need to investigate that.
Interesting.
Any other questions? Last call. All right, thank you very much.